the Lord has blessed him to be able to explain the Word of God so that each one of us individually can understand it. For some of us, it's new, and to others, it's a reinforcement. But it's important that we remember that the Word of God is to be in our hearts. Now, we come to know more about God, to learn more about God, to learn more about His Word. You know, we're told in Scripture to love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, all your strength. We're also told to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ in Peter, and then also to live our life like Christ, or to become more and more like Him. And of course, we're to glorify Him in all that we do, all that we say, at work, in our everyday life, in fellowship. You know, I think it's interesting, as I am able to talk to different ones and to minister to some different people, I find that most everybody that's come in here knows the Word real well. What they're struggling with is trying to practice the Word. And tonight, hopefully, we're going to be able to encourage you in that in Proverbs 3. Now, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all Scripture is profitable. First off, I'm sorry, all Scripture is what? God breathed, right. And it is profitable in four ways: for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And then, of course, it says that that all men will be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, for doctrine, that's what's right. For reproof, that's what's not right. For correction, that's how to get right. For instruction in righteousness, that's how to stay right. Now, tonight we're going to be in Proverbs. We're going to do verses 1 through 12. I'd like to read those, and then we're going to talk about them a little bit. Proverbs 3, starting in verse 1. My son, do not forget my law or word, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of His saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. Was I reading from chapter 3? But then I switched. Nobody said anything. Speak up. When you see something's going wrong, speak up. All right? Verse 5 of Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. From whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. In our outline that we're going to follow tonight, verses 1 through 4, we'll see where the father-teacher strongly encourages his son to pursue his teaching. Now, throughout Proverbs, Solomon uses my son, and you need to understand that that phrase is actually talking about all the children. It's not just talking about the boys. It's talking about the girls also. And when I look here and I understand it says my son, I'm looking at Father being God. And I think that that's a good way for us to look at that. Verses 5 through 6, trust in God and lean not on your own understanding. Verses 7 and 8, fear God and not be wise in your own eyes. 9 and 10, honor God and not fail to give to him. And then verses 11 through 12, to appreciate God and not misunderstand his discipline and its value. Now we're going to see as we go through these 12 verses that they follow an alternating pattern of commands and rewards. Verse 1, the command is, my son, do not forget my law. Verse 2, the reward or the benefit for length of days and long life. Verse 3, commands, let not mercy and truth forsake you. And verse 4 is the rewards or the benefits, and so find favor in high esteem. Verses 5 through 6a, the commands, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And in verse 6b, the reward or the benefit is, and he shall direct your paths or make your paths smooth, depending on your translation. Verse 7, the command, do not be wise in your own eyes. Verse 8 is the reward. It will be health to your flesh. Verse 9, the command, honor the Lord with your possessions. Verse 10, the reward, so your barns will be filled with plenty. And we're going to talk about each one of these a little bit more as we start going through verse by verse. Verse 11, the commands, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Verse 12, the reward, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Now in verse 1, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. There's a negative and a positive here. The negative, do not forget. What are we not to forget? God's word. Positively, keep to what he was being taught. So we're talking about keeping the commands. And not to forget the word to what he's been taught. Now, I think it's interesting. Back in Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 7, the Lord tells the Israelites, starting in verse 5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you're in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lay down, and when you rise up. Now, this is what Solomon was doing and teaching his child and urging him and encouraging him not to forget God's word and to keep God's word. We notice over in Proverbs 4, verse 2, it says, well, start in verse 1, hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, or good teaching. Do not forsake the law. Now, of course, at this time they were following the law of Moses, but we're talking here overall about the Word of God and the principle. The command of verse 1 is an exhortation to keep the Word of God in your heart. Psalm 119:11. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know, Christ gives us the same command in John 14:15. He says, if you love me, keep my commands. What's the trend that we see so far? Is to keep the Word of God and not forget it. How do we do that? I think the way that we do that personally is we're in the Word every day. We read it, we study it, we ask the Lord to give us the understanding, to help us put it into practice. But we have to do that on a regular, consistent basis. If you ever want to be able to do what the Lord's Word says, then you're going to have to be in it each and every day. Well, let's go back a minute to verse 1. My son, do not forget my law. Well, the law it's talking about, of course, is the Hebrew Torah. From the verb throw, distribute, or teach, hence the teaching of the word. So as we go through the verses and we talk about the law, we're talking about the Word of God. And to Solomon's son that he was teaching here, of course, it was from the Torah. It was Moses' law. And he taught him when they were walking, when they were playing together, when they were at the supper table eating, and when they laid them down in the bed. Not only were they praying with them, he was still teaching them the Word of God. Verse 2, for the length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. Now, the word prosperity shalom is translated peace. Though it includes peace and prosperity, it's broader in meaning. It also suggests wholeness, health, and harmony. Psalm 91:16. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Proverbs 3:16. Length of days is in her right hand. Talking about wisdom there. In her left hand, riches and honor. Proverbs 4:10. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. When we get to the part near the end about the discipline and everything, where we'll talk a little bit more about this. But I remember when I was a young man, and my dad would teach me. Now, we were not saved at that time, but he did teach about life. And one of his instruments of teaching was his belt. My mother had the switch. My dad had the belt. And he would always say, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. Have you ever heard that statement? Do you tell your children that statement now? The idea here of the peace or the prosperity is a wholeness. It's good health and harmony. Verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Now, mercy and truth is an important pair of words in the Bible, describing God's character. Psalm 100, verse 5, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Now, the apostle, well, let's go ahead and use this one. That's verse 4. In verse 3, it uses the word heart. See there it said, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Now, the heart is the depository of all wisdom and the source of whatever affects your speech, sight, and your conduct. Has somebody ever said anything to you and first thing you do is strike back at them? Or vice versa, you said something to somebody and they struck out at you. Where was that coming from? Coming from your heart. Whatever is in your heart will come out, whether it's by word or action. Now, mercy and truth, the Apostle John used the Greek equivalent of these words, grace and truth, to describe Christ's character. And you can see that in John 1, verse 14. Now, mercy and truth, or love and faithfulness, as it says in the NIV, are important character qualities, and they both involve actions as well as attitudes. A faithful person not only believes the truth, they practice the truth. You know, what was one of the first things that Pastor Andy taught when he got here? He used Greek words, orthodoxy, for doctrine, teaching, or orthopraxy, for the practice of the word. Not only are we to know the word, we're to do the word. And that mercy and truth, others will see in us. As we go through these scriptures, it's going to talk about putting them things around your neck and all that. Well, I think our whole body our eyes, our words reflect the character of Christ that sent us. You know, the practice of the truth. Thoughts and words are not enough. Our lives reveal that mercy and truth. Do our actions measure up to our attitudes? That's something that we need to think about. Are we reflecting Christ in our life? Or are we reflecting the world? Verse 4, which is one of the benefits, and to find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man, good repute in the sight of God and man. Psalm 111:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commands. His praise endures forever. Did you catch that? A good understanding have all those who do his commands, his commandments, his word. The Lord doesn't just give us these commands so that we can sound good when we give them out. He gives them so that we can follow those commands. And he will give us rewards as we went through the rewards earlier. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Now, everybody here that's been in any of my classes before knows this is my favorite verse, and we use it all the time. But this is a real good verse to live by. There are four verbs in these two verses. Trust, lean, acknowledge, make straight or direct. Here's a brief outline this gives us, just these two verses. My part, your part. Trust, do not lean, acknowledge. Trust, Psalm 37:3-5. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his God's faithfulness. Verse 5, commit your ways to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Commit. What does commit mean? We need to commit ourselves to the Lord. What does that mean? Well, the word commit itself means to roll over upon, roll all your burdens onto the Lord, all your worries, all your anxieties, roll them over to the Lord. Trust in him, that he's going to bring you through those trials and tribulations. Second part of my part, do not lean. Proverbs 23:4. Do not overwork to be rich because of your own understanding. Cease. Wow, what does that mean? Now, that's not saying that we can't be rich, and it's not saying that we have to overwork to be rich. It's saying do not rely on your own understanding. Cease that. Lean on the Lord. Jeremiah 9:23. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. We're not to be so wrapped up in the world that we don't trust in the Lord. We need to trust in him. Now, we have to work in the world. We have to live in the world. But what are we to do while we're in the world? To do all of our work as unto him, for his glory. I remember many years ago where I got wrapped up, boy, I need to climb up this ladder to get to the top in this organization. Started doing all that on my own strength. Crashed. Didn't make it. And I find that to be true in our everyday ministries as believers. If we try to do the ministry in our own strength, we're going to get tired. We're going to get wore out. We're going to get discouraged. But if we trust in the Lord, lean on him, he's going to give us everything that we need to get that ministry done properly. Third part, acknowledge. Proverbs 16:3. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And then listen to what he tells you. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. And it will be given to him. 2nd part of this outline on verses 5 and 6. God's part. He will make straight or direct your paths. Isaiah 45:13. I have raised him up in righteousness. I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city and let my exiles go free. not for price, not for reward, says the Lord of hosts. Once again, God will direct your ways. Jeremiah 10:23. O Lord, I know the way of a man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. You know, we see in these verses, or we discover they're intensely potent and practical. They contain vital information on how to live a stable, wise, well-balanced life. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 contain truth for everyday living. As we go through verse 5 and 6, the term your is all the way through it. One, your responsibility in a given situation is to trust God with all your heart. Two, refuse to lean on your own understanding. Three, acknowledge him in all your ways and everything that you do. Four, so that he might make straight your paths. Now, what is involved in trusting with all my heart? There are two actions, one negative, one positive. Negative, I am not to lean on my own understanding. I put that stop sign there to remind me not to lean on my own understanding. The positive action. I am to acknowledge him in all my ways. Get that check mark. I'm going to acknowledge him in all my ways. Not part of them, but all of them. Now let's just look at some of the meanings of some of these terms that we've been talking about. It might help us to understand the original meaning and how they fit together. The word trust, what does trust mean? At the root of the original Hebrew term, it's the idea of throwing oneself down, laying extended on the ground, casting all my hopes, fears, and everything onto the Lord. Trust is believing in God, believing what he says. It's having confidence in God that he will do as he says. And if we do those things, he will lead us down the path in the right direction. He's our shelter. He's our security. The word translated security is the same Hebrew root word as our word trust. We are commanded by our Lord to cast ourselves completely, fully, absolutely on him and him only. You've been watching all the political uproar that's going on and all the different races and such. Well, I sure couldn't put my trust in any of those people. There's only one person I can trust. That's the Lord. Now I'm asking him, and I will be asking him continually on who I should vote for. And I pray that I will be obedient and vote for the one he wants me to vote for. Now that doesn't mean that person's going to win, but that's who he wants me to vote for. Then the word Lord. As you know, this is the most intimate and sacred name of God in all the Bible. Orthodox Jews will not even pronounce it. To us, as New Testament believers, it's applied to our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to rely fully on him, finding our safety and security in him. The word heart, does not refer to the bodily organ in the chest that pumps blood, and hopefully it's pumping correctly. It is throughout the Old Testament to refer to the inner man, that part of us that constitutes the seat of our intelligence, our emotions, and will, our conscience, and our personality. So what's the Lord telling us in these verses? He's saying we are to cast upon him, upon our Savior, our total trust, not holding back in any area of our mind or will or feeling. You know, that's a wow statement to me. I'm to cast totally my mind, my will, my emotions on God. Understanding. Literally, the second part of verse 5 says, "And upon your understanding, do not lean." This word understanding has reference to human understanding. It means that we're not to turn first to our own limited point of view, our own ideas or ways of thanking, but to our Lord's wisdom. Now, the Lord did give us a mind. He does want us to think. What does he want us to think? The truth. What's it say in Philippians 4:8? Finally, brethren, remember the truth. To remember everything noble. To remember justice. To remember purity. To remember all things pertaining to him. And then at the end of that, it says, whatever is praiseworthy, or whatever is good, think on these things. That's what we're to think on. We're to think on God's word. What's he want us to do? You know, it gives us real clear instructions in the Bible. It may take us some time to find it sometimes. But if we pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us in the word and show us about a particular thing that we're having a problem with, it's there. It's the guidance is there. Now, we may have to go through the concordance, go to the different references, and do some research and to study it. But what's happening when he makes us do that? It's showing us what we need to do in the right way. The word acknowledge means to recognize rather than leaning on man-made crutches of our own devices. We are exhorted to recognize God's presence and his will in our life. By acknowledging him, we remind ourselves that we are not alone, that he is with us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Verse 7 and 8, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Now we need to remember we did not become wise by ourselves. Wisdom comes from God. For Proverbs 2:6. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. Romans 12:3, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Verse 16 in Romans 12. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. You know, there's a wonderful promise that comes with obedience to the command of verse 7. That's the promise of health to body and soul. Now, that's not saying that we'll never get sick. But with the fear of the Lord and trusting in Him, we will have good health and strength. Verse 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Honor the Lord with your possessions. We need a biblical view of our possessions. It all belongs to Him. We are the stewards. The promises in these verses describe general patterns, not rules that have no exceptions. These are the results that often follow a full commitment to God. The command to honor God with our possessions and wealth and to give to Him from the first fruits of all income is a part of what it means to worship God. In God's covenant with Israel, fullness of barns and vats was God's blessing, a part of God's covenant promise. Yet these verses should not be taken as a formula for getting rich. I speak of what righteous people can reasonably expect of life, not what God promises to return on our investment. In the New Testament, we honor God with our possessions or our first fruits. And we look at 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 8. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. We need to be asking God what He wants us to give. And he wants us to give from the heart, not out of necessity. You know, we're here at this church, we don't go with tithing. We go with 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't tithe if you want to tithe. That's between you and God. But I believe in the New Testament, the Lord teaches us to give from the heart on what He wants us to do, how He wants us to give. And we just need to remember everything we have belongs to Him. We're not going to take any of it with us. We might leave something for our children or grandchildren. But the Lord promises He'll take care of our needs. And part of our worship is giving, just like prayer is part of the worship, just like worship songs and the teaching. It's all part of the worship. Give from a cheerful heart. Oh, right near the end here. You're going to get away easy. Now, the warning here is twofold. Do not despise, reject, or take lightly the Lord's discipline. Because remember what it says in verse 11 and 12. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. For whom the Lord He loves, He corrects, just as a father the son in whom He delights. Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 6. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and scourges every son whom He receives. Well, the discipline of the Lord is the other side of grace. We should really cherish God's correction in our lives to keep us on that path. And just remember, God disciplines only those He loves. Okay, I think we're going to stop there. I had to rush through about the last four verses. But any questions or comments? Trust in the Lord with all your heart.